We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Here's Barker now coming off the halfway line. Atlanta United trying to ice it down the middle for Joseph at the... Oh, and coming off his line is Regier to knock down Joseph. Play continues. Pitti at the edge of the six. Shot! Score! Regier came off his line to play Joseph. He knocked him down. The referee plays advantage, and it's a goal for Pitti to send Atlanta United through to the quarterfinals.
Mike Connie on 90 Time. The game last night is Atlanta United got a little action at the fraction, as they were saying, at Fifth
action
Third
at the fraction.
Bank in Stadium in Kennesaw in front of about 30.
Is that all?
That's all it holds.
No, but John, it sounded like it was more people there than that.
Yeah,
they
only
were
holds
loud.
About
they were
9 or 10,000. It was loud.
They were loud and boisterous last night. Like they didn't have to go to work today. That was the thing I kept thinking. Like none of those folks. I wonder if they went to work. Like, who went to work today? Who went to the match last night? That's what I'm curious about. Because if you were there and you were standing up the whole time and you were yelling, you can't be right. You can't be doing nothing at work that's productive. Can't be. It's impossible. Because you were loud and yelling all night long. That was the one thing that stuck out to me about the match all night. Just like the cheering and whoever was banging the drum. Like, he was banging that drum all night.
That was Mr. Astro. Oh, no. Different one. Never mind.
Way to tie that in. I respect that. It was a little, it threw me off a little bit, but yeah, that I respect your petty.
Did they get the, did get the
strong
calls?
Yeah. No, but the guy that, whomever, guy or gal, I apologize if it's a gal, that was banging the drum.
Yeah.
Like they were loud and boisterous all day long.
Yeah, the supporters were there and they were, yeah, you know, no question.
As I'm laying in my bed getting ready for, you know, this 5 o'clock show, I'm thinking like, who is the guy banging the drum? Like I'm thinking about stuff like that. Watching the match, because the first half was it was a little slow.
Until the end of the half when they got the first goal.
Yeah. It was a little slow.
And one of the things we learned last night, here's the audio from the first goal that they made it 1-0, is that we learned something that we didn't know about Mike Connie. Listen to this call.
Kept alive Escobar. Bounces it through to Pitti. Ahead to Joseph. Back heel back to Pitti. He dribbles into the box. A shot! Score! El Pitti Martinez, K Loco, K Estada!
What?
And Atlanta United finally gets the reward in the 40th minute.
Mike Conti habla de Espanol. I didn't know that. I had no idea he could speak Spanish.
Me neither. Great job, Mike Conti.
I didn't know that at all. So
yeah, it's so much more. It's
bilingual,
so much we're learning about. Yeah.
The man of many hats is now the man of many languages.
Now, I'm going to have to ask Mike when I see him, like, was that had to be something he had to look up. He had to look that one.
Well, you would have to get it vetted. You know,
you had to make
translated.
Sure
it's translated.
Like, I know you.
Somebody would sell you under the bus, you know?
Yeah.
He said what?
Yeah.
He's fired. Mike Conti fired for.
Listen, knowing Mike Conti, I know you like to be natural, but there had to be a little bit of, it had to be like maybe a little bit of preparation in that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit.
Because, yeah.
Yeah, you want to make sure, yeah, in this day and age, you want to be PC. You want to mess up.
Mike said, what?
What'd he say?
He called him a what?
So, yeah, had to wait and see what Mike says about that when he gets in this morning.
Atlanta United blows out Motagua 3-0, and it wasn't really even close. They dominated from the beginning to the end of that match, and so because of that, you start to wonder a little bit about how good Atlanta United might be able to be in MLS play this year. And, of course, they play their opener Saturday night in Nashville. More on that in a moment. First, though, let's take you to Mike Conti and Jason Longshore as they broke down the game after the game and said this about their impression of advancing in the CONCACAF Champions League.
Man of the match, as discussed. It is Pitty Martinez, without question. It, probably the best match he's ever played in an Atlanta United shirt. And that's not to say he had some good ones last year, because he had some terrific performances, including some game-winning goals last year against Orlando coming to mind, against DC United. But two goals and an assist for Pitty Martinez tonight. And he and Joseph and Barco, PB&J, just looked so cohesive the entire match in the attack for Atlanta United.
Two goals and two assists in CONCACAF Champions League play in 2020 so far for Pitty Martinez. Same for Joseph Martinez, but tonight was Pitty's show. And his performance all the way around, incredibly impressive. He just feels like a different person right now going into 2020. He looks rested, he looks composed, and he looks like a player that has a little something to prove. And when you're a South American Player of the Year and you come to Major League Soccer and you feel like you have something to prove, it's a dangerous thing for the rest of the league.
So it is Pitty Martinez, your man of the match for Atlanta United. As we look at the final statistics, it's hard to think of a statistically more dominant performance possible for Atlanta United tonight. 17-6, the shots Atlanta United. And Mataguá did not have a single of those shots on target, whereas Atlanta United had six shots on target. Atlanta United earned six corners, Mataguá with four, but all of their corners coming in the second half. Mataguá was reduced to 17 crosses tonight. That still sounds like a lot, but consider they had 30 crosses down in Honduras a week ago tonight. Atlanta United winning 55% of the duels, passing at 87%. Boy, it makes a difference when you play on a true pitch, doesn't it? And Atlanta United, 60-40, the possession in favor of the Five Stripes. It felt like a dominant performance, and the stats certainly back it up.
It was a huge performance from Atlanta United. Now, some of that's down to Mataguá coming in and defending for as long as they could. That definitely factored into it. But Atlanta United moved the ball pretty quickly. They handled the defensive numbers behind the ball, and they eventually broke it down. And when Mataguá had to open up, that just created more opportunities for Atlanta.
Yeah, and so Atlanta, again, Jason Longshore, Mike Conney, recapping the game last night. So Atlanta United in the CONCACAF Champions League will face either Comunicaciones.
You said that right.
Spell
it phonetically.
Comunicaciones of Guatemala.
Is that communication in Spanish for real?
That's what I'm thinking. Comunicaciones okay. of Guatemala, or Club America of Mexico. Now, you might recall last year, they played Club America in that Campeones Cup here and beat them in the Campeones Cup. So Club America's been here before, so that's the next round. But what's next really for United is MLS play, Hugh, and they're taking on Cashville, on Saturday night at Nissan Stadium, where the Titans play, Nashville. This will be the first ever game for Nashville FC as a member of Major League Soccer. I would imagine we're going to have a huge contingent of Five Stripes go up. I mean, what a great little road trip.
Yeah, and you get to hang out with Dukes and Bell and drink Hey Man Ale and go there with them. I think it's going to be a great time, man. You know, they did just watching TV last night, just focusing on different things, the way that they're advertising it, mm-hmm. you know, talking about the Nashville team and the fact that it's starting to gain a little bit of momentum.
Right.
And, you know, even the announcers last night talked about potentially a budding rivalry between these two places because it's so close together. So, I mean, because they're so geographically close. So, yeah, I think it's going to be a fun time, man. I think that if last night was any indication of what Atlanta United fans were going to do, just imagine what it's going to be like on the weekend.
Right.
So it's going to be a fun time. And you get a chance to ride the bus with Dukes and Bell. That, to me, is like a party within itself. Because could you imagine? Think about this for a minute, John Fricky. If you're on the bus from the beginning to the end with Dukes and Bell, that's like a four-hour trip, right? It's like 4 hours.
Yeah, about.
Three and a half.
It might be four because you got to stop, right?
Yeah, okay, yeah. That's a party.
So they're probably leaving in the morning. Because you'd stop at every little town along the way, but.
And they're probably gonna have to stop at some rest areas and let everybody evacuate, because I don't think that I don't think with those two guys on that bus trip that there's gonna be enough to sustain.
Overflow.
Yeah, it'd probably be a little merch. Probably be a little merch. Unless they do that double decker thing.
Yeah, right.
I just imagine that being a party. I just imagine with those two guys and a bus and Atlanta United fans that that's going to be a party. Mm-hmm. And then the caravan that's probably going to, you know, be behind them, that's probably going to be a nice little time.
Yeah, so I don't know how many fans are going to show up in Nashville on Saturday night from the Five Stripes. I said 15,000. That may be much, but it wouldn't shock me if it was because, again, what a great little trip up here. We finally have a team that's, you know, Orlando a little bit, you know, okay. But you really have a team that's super.
They haven't beaten you yet, though.
Yeah, I know, but it's also 8 hours to Orlando. Now you have a team that's drivable. This is the first time you have a really drivable opponent in Major League Soccer because it's only, like you said, 3.5-4 hours, depending on which side of town you're on, to be able to get up to Nashville to go to the game. And so this Saturday, plus it's a Saturday, and plus, you know, there's a lot of excitement about Atlanta United right now because of what happened with Motagua. Now, you advance to the CCL. That's great. But, Hugh, you had a dominating show, and there were a lot of questions about Atlanta United because of all the changes. You know, they were talking about them last night, about no Nagby and no Gressel and whatnot. But that team that played last night looked like a team that was kind of connecting. And, you know, what did they say, 87% of their passes?
Yes.
It makes you wonder if United isn't the favorites again, possibly in Major League Soccer. And if they are, this could be a really good team. Carlos Bocanegra said, look, we got a lot of changes, but we are going to be a faster team.
You know what? Last night, speaking of that, the announcers on television said that this team might not be as fast as other Atlanta United teams, but they look more efficient. He didn't say it to that extent, but when you say they're not that fast and then they come out and do what they do, that to me screams efficient.
Mm-hmm.
So that, because you know, you look at Pity out front like that, he's not as fast as Miguel used to be and things of that nature, but still.
Yeah, but they're not asking him to be that either.
No, but you know what's surprising enough, John, we're going into the fourth year at Atlanta United, Miguel Almirón's name came up in the broadcast.
Because he had that kind of an impact.
Yeah, and they were just talking about the different changes that they've had at Atlanta United over the course of the four-year span and how it's changed and how it's evolved. But now they were talking about how Pity looks more comfortable and this team looks more interchangeable. Mm-hmm. And to your point, you're talking about you're down a few guys and you look that good. So when you talk about being the favorites coming into this MLS season, you'd have to think that Atlanta United has to be that. Has to be.
Yeah, and that people wouldn't think that considering that they won the title 2 years ago. They won the U.S. Open Cup and the Campeones Cup last year. They were a penalty kick away from making the finals again where they would have hosted Seattle in that championship match. I mean, and I don't know why you wouldn't think that they have absolutely every ability. If you doubted whether or not they could possibly be a contender this year, I think this last night probably put that to rest.
You know what's funny? I would love, if I had time, which I don't, to go back through your Twitter, mm-hmm. like you know the algorithm where you could look for keywords,
right,
and find all the people that had a problem with Frank DeBoer and wanted him gone and talked about he was not the right man for the job. Really? Hold me now. Why?
But whatever you're going, Thompson Twins.
Well, you know when he does that, I have to try to figure out where is he going because you know a lot of times. He has hidden meanings when he plays stuff. So I got to ask. But he just said he likes this song. Okay, so we'll just leave it like that. You got to watch Orin now. He likes to send those subliminal messages.
We told you there's an awful lot of news. If we haven't talked about your team, we're going to get to it. Trey Young talk coming up about whether or not Trey has been slighted again. But next, two NFL teams announced that they're going to keep their quarterbacks. Which two teams and which two quarterbacks are not going anywhere? We'll tell you next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 90s on the Game and 90sonthegame.com.
For the future, and we have nothing but the greatest respect for him. He's a competitor. You know, he's won a lot of football games for us. Obviously, he like us. We all want to take that next step, you know, and get into a championship game and, you know, get to the big game and ultimately win a championship.
All right, is that the guy to take you to a championship? Is Dak Prescott the guy to lead the Dallas Cowboys? NFL headlines this morning with John and Hugh, brought to you by Hartsfield-Jackson. Hartsfield-Jackson, making business travel more rewarding for companies and employees. Go to atlcorporaterewards.com for more information. It is free and it is easy. That was Stephen Jones, son of Jerry Jones, saying Dak's going to be our quarterback. I hadn't heard Mike McCarthy say that. I don't see no contract, but okay. That's what Stephen Jones says anyway.
Well, Stephen Jones has the ear of the owner, which is Jerry, his daddy. And I think that's where they're leaning towards. You know, I think if you pay Dak all that money, which they're talking about, they're talking about doing this season, then he's your quarterback, regardless of what Mike McCarthy says. Mike McCarthy got to make it work. Coach McCarthy has to make it work.
A couple other teams talking about their quarterbacks, and maybe we're not going to get as much movement as we thought if Dallas signs Dak Prescott. The Raiders, Mike Mayock of the Raiders, talking about Derek Carr's future with the now Las Vegas Raiders.
I'm very happy with Derek Carr. What I've told everybody I've been in touch with since the day I took this job is we're going to evaluate every position every year. And if we can get better, we will. And guys get tired of me saying that, but that's really what I told Mark Davis before I took the job, and that's my mantra.
Okay, that's his mantra. Is Derek Carr taking you to a Super Bowl? I'm just asking.
I mean, John, anything is possible.
Right.
Who was it took us to a Super Bowl that with the Chicago Bears the year they went? Can't think of his name.
Rex Grossman.
Rex Grossman. Thank you very much. Couldn't remember his name. Remember his face. Remember his name.
Yep. That's true. All right. That's fine.
Yeah. It's possible.
It's possible.
You know, you put the right people around him. Now, win you a Super Bowl, that's a different conversation. But he probably possibly could take you to one.
Matt Rhule, new coach of the Carolina Panthers, talking about his quarterbacking situation and the fact that maybe he's not going to make a change.
I'm excited to get him healthy. Obviously, you know, that's the number one goal for us. He's doing a great job of doing his part. We have to make sure that we're doing our part as we try to get him healthy for the 2020 season.
All right, so it sounds like the Carolina Panthers might be going forward with Cam Newton as their quarterback, with Matt Rhule now as their head coach.
If he's healthy.
Joe Brady, Brady is their offense coordinator. Bears are also saying that they're okay with Mitch Trubisky. All right, okay.
Yeah, what do you want him to say, John? I mean, it's like you got to give – it's either one of two things. It's a ringing endorsement – or it's a kiss of death. Right now, when you talk about what the Bears have given up to get Mitch Trubisky, I would say that the way that he's played and last year that he had, that there is a possibility that they might be looking to move on from him because he's still in his rookie deal. But are they in position to get a quarterback, like one of the top quarterbacks? Probably not. Now, if that changed, then that conversation changes. You know what I mean? But I don't think the Chicago Bears are in position to get somebody that they feel is going to be the heir apparent to Mitch Trubisky this year.
And, of course, free agency begins on March 16th with legal tampering. They say the date is actually March 18th, but it's not. And because by March 16th, it's sort of like, you know, anything else. As soon as March 16th happens and everybody can start talking about and meeting with the agents, all the news comes out. So it's really the free agent day is March 16th. So if you want to mark it down in your calendar, we are about a little less than 3 weeks away from free agency. This is why you're getting all this chatter. We're going to have the combine, and as soon as the combine's over, 2 weeks later, we got free agency.
Yeah, but it's funny. Like, most of the people that are talking about quarterbacks and things of that nature, you really have to, like, it's all on whether or not you believe exactly what's coming out of their mouth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, because everybody's lying at some point. Everybody's not backing everybody, but that's what you have to say, because if you have to go into a season, if things don't work out the way that you've laid them out, and you have to go into a season with one of those guys that you really don't like,
right,
then you don't want them looking at you sideways and not playing hard. So it's a cold world. It's a tough game to be a part of, but that's what you have to do. Hey, we love that guy. That's the one position that you always have to have comfortable on a football team is your quarterback. Because if you don't, they'll pull a Jay Cutler on you in a heartbeat and start acting all willy-nilly and not showing up and all this other stuff. That's why coaches now, before they make moves, or they're trying to make moves, even with Matt Stafford, he's our quarterback, until he ain't. Because you want to make sure that if it don't work out the way that you've planned it, that you have that plan B that's in place and everything's cool, because you don't want nobody holding out or holding your team hostage and putting you in a situation where you're going to have to do something drastic. Jay Cutler. That's that Jay Cutler move.
All right, NFL headlines this morning. Got to ask you a big question here. The NFLPA, you may know, and the owners have come to an agreement on a new CBA. Now, that's the association. Now, it hasn't been voted on yet by the players. The players have to approve it. The owners have approved it. The players are getting it. They're mailing it out to the players for them to review and to vote. Now, J.J. Watt famously
came out with a hard no.
But the question is, now that it's been mailed out to all the players, do you think that this new CBA will pass?
from everything that I'm hearing, John, and I can only go on what I'm reading, they said that they think it is. This is the problem, though, is that initially the vote was 6-5 to couch it. Initially, that's what I've heard, what I read. And the problem is, you know, when you talk about the fact that the vote was delayed a week and now they're voting on it, it makes you kind of wonder how many people have a real voice in all of this. Because that's not like when you think about a vote of this magnitude,
mm-hmm.
you kind of wonder how, like, who really knows what all the issues and what's going on. That's a lot of people. You're talking about every NFL player that's playing in the NFL. They're up to speed with the collective bargaining agreement and what's being asked of them. I don't know. I think that this is something.
Is it that what your individual team rep is supposed to do?
It's supposed to tell you. Yeah. And, you know, everybody's on vacation and things of that nature. And I'm pretty sure that the rep has been in contact with as many people as he possibly can. This, to me, on the outside looking in, because, again, I don't know exactly what the players are wanting because it really hasn't been expressed. There's been a few things out there. One of the things that they're kind of hung up on is the 17-game schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a lot of players are not a fan of that. But anything outside of that, I don't know what else they're asking for. I know what the owners are asking for, but
– well, the players get a bigger percentage of the
– like I think one it was, point. It's
I
like
think
it's
they
like
go
a
to
1%
like 48%
increase.
Or something yeah, like that, right? I mean, it goes
but,
up –
but think about it like know, this, John. Look how –
salary cap goes up. The minimum wage for –
$250,000.
The minimum wage goes up.
Yeah,
you know, I mean
– for the younger players.
Yeah,
But for the top-tier
players
–
more. And by the way, there's more for veterans, for people like you.
Yeah, but, John, like I was trying to say before you started jumping in on me talking about it, was that the thing here is that time for people, everybody to look it over,
mm-hmm.
and the people that it's going to affect. Because when you're talking about the top tier players, to them, they might look at that. That's not going to affect them that much. It's the other guy. What were you talking about? The 25 to 50. Those are the guys that you're more concerned about. You're not, the upper class is not concerned about it, like the Russell Wilsons and guys of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
Because say if they do take their time and look this over, it's not going to readily affect them. I remember the last CBA that they had, and when it looked like guys were gonna like when guys were getting ready to sit out or whatever, a lot of the 25 to 50 guys, those were the guys that are being affected. The guys are making $250,000. So it's one of those things where I think this is being rushed. I don't think that the players as a whole, all of them, know exactly what's going on, and you know, there's probably gonna be a little bit of, you know, some backlash. But if they sign it, they sign it. They have to work with it for 10 years.
And obviously, I'm not a former player. I'm not, you know, part of this. But just reading through it, this is just my sense, Hugh, in reading through it and kind of – I don't think they would have mailed it if they thought it was going to lose. So
but it did go 6-5. And that was
committee.
In committee. It did go 6-5. So that there were some guys that really had an issue
sure.
with it.
Yep.
But for the most part, I think that – it feels rushed, John. It feels rushed. And when you're talking about, I look at it like this. DeMaurice hasn't said a whole lot about it. And the players are busy playing football. And now you're getting into the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
How much time have you really had to thoroughly look over what they're asking you to sign?
Well, 17-game season is part of it. And that won't happen right away. The earliest it would happen is 2021, and more likely probably 2023. Before they get to it. But yes, the 17-game season will be coming. One thing that will be changing immediately this year is that we will go immediately to a 14-team playoff. The playoff will expand from 12 to 14 teams.
Yeah,
that's going to
be interesting.
And by the way, they're talking about playing playoff games on Monday night now.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. Hawks fans, tune into the morning show each Thursday at 7:40 as John and Hugh interview Coach Lloyd Pierce, brought to you by BMW.
Speaking of Lloyd Pierce, his star player is being slighted again. We'll tell you how. Another shot being taken. It was a friend of mine who did it, no less, on ESPN. Guy I like. But he took a shot at Trey. Maybe he's right. I don't know. We'll ask you next. If you think he's right. On Sports Radio 99 The Game and 99thegame.com.
Your game time traffic.
I'm Stephanie Stallworth from the Game Time Traffic Center update sponsored by Mr. Everything Cafe Decatur. We try to get to your destination out there today, and it takes you along Satellite Boulevard and had an incident for you out there by Beaver Ruin. Over to there. Also had some volume for you if you're traveling 85 southbound trying to get 316 down to Spaghetti Junction. And we'll with a couple of things. One near Beaver Ruin, another problem down there by Jimmy Carter Boulevard. Had a stall of 25 East past Old National. Minor crash for you along the way of 75 southbound. So coming from Highway 92 down to the Cobb Cloverleaf. Going to take about 27 minutes there. Thornton Road to the perimeter on the West Expressway inbound. That's 14 minutes. Downtown Connector North, Lankford into 7.
To hear Hawks CEO Steve Koonin as he joins the show right here with Dukes and Bell.
We're coming down to 2:05 to go. Here's Trey Young. Trey in the middle. Trey dribbles behind a pick, left side. Trey now into the lane. Looks for help. Gets it out to Cam Reddish. Cam up top. Trey fires a long three. Bang! And he got fouled on the play! Can you believe it? Trey Bendis again! He did it again! John Collins can't believe it. Trey hits the three and the Hawks lead by a point. 105-104.
Hawks play tonight, by the way, against the Orlando Magic in a game you can hear on Sports Radio 92. On the game, our coverage begins at 7. The tip is at 7:30, and tickets are available for the game at State Farm Arena at hawks.com/tickets. You get to see Trey Young. There's no load management with Trey Young. He will be in action again tonight, one of the best young players in the NBA, a guy who went out there and had a tremendous All-Star weekend, is among the leading scorers in the NBA. I think he's still second in the league, maybe, in scoring, and right there at the top of the league of assists and, you know, a tremendous, great young player. But you, again, once again, kind of getting overlooked and maybe a little bit slighted in a new list from ESPN. Now, Sean Farnham of ESPN wrote this list, and we're going to give you the list of the top five players in the NBA under the age of 21. Just for the sake of transparency, Sean Farnham is somebody I used to work with, former UCLA basketball player, really good guy. And I like Sean a lot. And he has his own opinion. I just happen to disagree with him, but that's okay. But Sean wrote this list out here, and it just goes to prove again that, you know, this is why, you know, the four letter, just, I don't know, down here, they just, if it's not New York, Boston, or L.A. or Chicago, okay. Here's how they ranked them. This is Sean Farnham and the folks at GetUp on ESPN.
We are going to have Sean Farnham talk about drafting some players under the age of 21. There's so many good young stars in the NBA right now. And Farnham, you are going to do this. And let's go number five. Are we going to start there?
We can start with number five. And okay. I think we should start there because this young man has got a tremendous amount of talent. His future is going to be very bright. It's Trae Young. Trae Young is one of the bright young talents that we have in the NBA. You think about his ability to stretch the floor and what that means for the Hawks. Guys, this is the same game. Just look at the distance here. He has 23 made three-pointers from 28 feet or further away. The rest of the NBA has 10. I mean, that is ridiculous when you think about his ability to stretch the floor. At number four, I go with Jason Tatum. Now, obviously, his numbers have been fantastic as of late. And you look at what he's meant for this Boston Celtics team this year. He's actually in isolation basketball this year in the NBA. He ranks as the fifth best most efficient score in isolation basketball. Number three, by the way, defensively in real plus minus. So he's impacting the game at both ends of the floor. This is where things got a little bit more difficult for me because this talent is ridiculous. All right, let's go to number three. I go Ja Morant. Ja Morant is a guy that is going to take the Grizzlies maybe from the second pick all the way into the playoffs. And when you watch his highlights, come on, this is ridiculous. This can't even be real. This, by the way, was a two-point game with under 30 seconds left. And watch this one in the open floor. Yeah, I'm just going to put you on skates.
Stop
you have
it.
No idea where I'm going with the basketball. His highlights might be better than even the next person that I'm putting on this list. And I think this will shock some people because of how much we've talked about him. But at number two, I'm going with Zion Williamson. Zion's checking in at number two. Now, we know his level of explosiveness. That block shot, by the way, went into the fourth row. The difference of him, Greeny, I was told, with him on the floor versus off the floor, because I watch the show even when I'm not on it, is to the Lakers, to the Warriors. I believe you said that 2 weeks ago.
I did.
Maybe a week ago. Very well stated, sir. All right, which brings us to number one. And you look at number one, who's under 21 that's just been doing so many great things for his team? Luka Doncic. I think when you think about Luka, before he got hurt, we were talking about him maybe being the MVP candidate this year in the NBA. And his ability to lead what has become the most explosive offense since the merger comes off of his fingertips. He can go right, he can go left, he doesn't have really any holes in his game. The one thing that you're going to use against him is his athleticism. Now, he still has holes, and he'll admit that he's got to continue to work and develop. In fact, he's going to go to his left more frequently than anything else. But this is a heck of a five players that are under 21 in the NBA.
And now, granted, it is Sean's opinion, and he's right. I mean, the future of the NBA is very bright when we're talking about under the age of 21 and you have Luka Doncic, Zion Williamson, Ja Morant, Jason Tatum, and Trae Young. And nothing against Ja Morant, is a very exciting player. He was at Murray State. He is in the NBA. But are you trading Trae Young for Ja Morant? Hell no.
You know what? We were talking about this yesterday, and I know you guys feel like he was slight. I thought that was a pretty good ranking when you talk about the young players under 21. I think where Trae is being slighted at is that he does not have his team in the playoffs. And you talk about looking at the other guys outside of NOLA, New Orleans, everybody else is a playoff contender team right now that you're talking about and that they're playing for. I think that's why he's getting slighted. But at the same time, we were a whole rebuild. Like, we flat out rebuilt our squad. Like, mm-hmm. we ain't got nothing, but we got a bunch of young guys and one older guy in Vince Carter that's on the squad. I think that was why. I think five is good for where he is, and I think he has the potential to be even better as we move forward. But right now, you look at what Zion's doing, and there is an argument out there whether or not Zion should be the rookie of the year, and he didn't even play a whole season because of what he's doing on the floor. And then you look at the matchup that he had against LeBron James the other night, and you look at that. He's a grown man. He's a grown man. And you look at the Pelicans and wonder where they could potentially be if he was healthy. But, again, I say that that's not a whole rebuild. We're dealing with a whole brand-new rebuild. And I think number five is respectable. Like, he's going to climb. He's definitely going to climb. But I think number five is probably where he should be.
Yeah, I just really, you know, I mean, if you want to say Luka and you want to say Zion because they're big guys and stuff, but I don't know how you put Ja Morant ahead of Trae. I don't. I mean, Ja Morant's a really exciting young player. And
dude,
I think
Memphis
he's really
was
good.
Garbage.
But
like,
I'm sorry.
Couple seasons ago. Let's
talk about the body of work so far under the age of 21.
No, I mean, I get it.
I mean,
but. This is the thing, John.
Would you trade Trae Young for Ja Morant right now?
No, but I'm here. But put it like this. I don't think anybody would. No, but put it like this. Say if I was at the four letter, and if I'm doing, you know, say like because I have boots on the ground here in Atlanta, so I see him. I get an opportunity to see him more often than probably say they would, and I'm looking at the standings, and I'm looking at the different players and the contributions that they're making to their team. And, oh, the fact that their team is in the playoffs, I'm going to naturally gravitate towards those guys. Oh, yeah, Trae Young's putting up big numbers. But they only how many wins do the Hawks have this year? I'm looking at 17.
No, that's what we were asking, is because the Hawks aren't winning. You know, is that one of the reasons?
Yes.
And you're saying yes.
Yes.
And yes, I understand that there is – about his defense, but even Sean Hardeman admitted there's holes in Luka's game.
Yeah, but I'm talking about from a national perspective. Like, I'm talking about it from a big picture perspective. And I'm looking at the standings. Oh, Ja Morant, good young rookie playing well, play for the Memphis Grizzlies. Oh, where are the Memphis Grizzlies at in the standings? Oh, they're the AC right now. And who's on the back of them is, who's a little bit in front of them, the 7th seed, Dallas Mavericks. Who's in back of them? New Orleans Pelicans. All those young guys are contributing. Oh, the Pelicans might be a little bit better if Zion Williamson would have played a little bit earlier. So
and,
that's
and
what they're
the
kind of looking
be
at.
Better
yeah.
If John Collins did, but
see,
that's another
and that,
story.
That's the unfortunate. Now you're following me. That's the unfortunate thing about
this. I get
you.
I get you.
So, I mean, I understand
just,
you're a little
but it's
bit
just
upset.
Like, well, I'm not upset.
Don't be butthurt, John Fricky.
It's going to be so sweet when the Hawks get good
Be butthurt, John Fricky. We live here. It's going to be okay.
I just want to know if you would trade. Would you trade Trae Young for Ja Morant?
Because, no, I wouldn't.
I mean, I wouldn't.
But I'm here.
But
like
know.
I said, because I'm watching. I'm here and I'm seeing him.
I think we really have a superstar here.
Don't be butthurt, John Fricky. Don't be butthurt.
Can't wait till he puts up 50 in an NBA Finals. That'll happen someday. And well. You ignored him. Oh, okay. Now you see. Okay.
Back then they didn't want me. Now I'm hot. They all on me.
The Atlanta Falcons are in Indianapolis. They are breaking down players, interviewing players. What are their priorities for the NFL Combine? And what's this all about, Tack McKinley, and is he going to be what? Did you see all this?
All of that. But before we go to that. Join the Atlanta Hawks as they take on the Brooklyn Nets this Friday, February 28th at State Farm Arena. Get your tickets today at Hawks.com/tickets. That's Hawks.com/tickets.
And who's going to free agency from the Atlanta Falcons? All that ahead next with John and you on Sports Radio 92 on the Game and 92onthegame.com.
Yeah, T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.